Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. Been on the podcast many times when he covered the LSU Tigers. I believe this is Wilson Alexander's first go-around with us as a national college football reporter for On3 Sports. Wilson, welcome back to the pod. And you were in Thibodaux, Louisiana this past weekend, and you saw what many people are calling at this point the Kamario Taylor show. Those of us here in Starkville, we knew kind of what we've got up here with Kamario. This was a lot of people's first real look at him. Just your first impressions of the Bulldog quarterback.
Man, the arm strength is impressive. That was the very first thing. It's just like, what's great about the Manny Passing Academy is that although you're seeing a really limited sample size, you're watching a lot of top quarterbacks throw next to each other. And so you can see one after another, okay, who's got maybe a little bit more zip on the ball? What does somebody look like mechanically next to somebody else? And Kamario throws the ball harder than anybody there. Like there was, you could see it right away when they were just doing like 10-yard curls. And then especially up to the point where they're doing 65 to 70 yard goes, where the ball is just coming out of his hand effortlessly with so much zip behind it. That was the thing that really caught, I think, mine and everybody else's there attention right away, was just the arm strength.
And then did you have a chance to speak with Kamario? What did you think of him as just more of as a person?
No, I didn't get the chance, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, we'll move on from that. I had another question along those lines, but we'll skip that. When you think about Mississippi State this year, what you saw from Kamario Taylor change your thoughts about what the Bulldogs can be as a team this year?
Possibly so. I mean, when you've got a quarterback like that who's 6'4", 230, and you know he's mobile too, it certainly makes you think like, okay, is this team going to go compete for a championship? Probably not. But can they be a bowl team? Like that feels possible in the realm of possibility. I mean, after you know a couple of losing seasons here for Mississippi State, like with a quarterback with that kind of upside, it feels like that starts to become part of the expectation maybe for this season. Do you feel like that's reasonable? I sort of start to see it for if he can continue to develop. Cause like you look at last year and those two starts at the end of the year, he's got to, you know, continue to improve. The completion percentage was not nearly high enough, all those sorts of things that need to get better at just playing the position. But when you have the traits that he has in a full off season to develop them, knowing you're going to be the guy, that feels like that should be putting Mississippi State into at least a bowl conversation.
Yeah, the way I've been putting it is if you have a good quarterback, and I think we can set a baseline of good for Kamario Taylor, and you're not awful defensively, and I think with Zach Arnett here, you're probably not awful defensively, you should be a bowl team. I mean, that feels like a very reasonable expectation. Outside of Kamario, who were the other standouts for you at the Passing Academy?
A few, one of them right there in the state of Mississippi, Trinidad Chambliss, looked really good. I mean, it's just impressive seeing a guy who's not that tall at like, I mean, I think they list him over 6 feet and there's, I doubt that he really is. But he gets so much explosiveness out of his lower half. I can't take credit for this comparison, but Cooper Petania from CBS Sports said he looks kind of Russell Wilson-esque in that regard.
But that's a good
comment. As soon as he said that, I was like, yeah, I can kind of see it in a way. He's probably got a little bit more elusiveness maybe than Russell Wilson. But he's still, you know, that just the way that he uses his lower half and his throwing motion kind of feels like the appropriate comparison. And he gets so much explosiveness out of that where he makes up for the size. And so I was impressed with Trinidad. I was impressed with CJ Carr from Notre Dame because he like lulls you to sleep. It's so repeatable. One, just so consistent with what he does and his throwing motion and his mechanics in a way that, again, like I said earlier, you can see that next to everybody else where some guys might have a hitch or something like that. Like his is just really fluid. I was impressed with John Mateer You know,
The
I don't
big
know, maybe,
guns.
maybe. Yeah, right. The ripped bodybuilder at playing quarterback, right? Part of that might be influenced by the fact that I got to talk to him for a while before, during the camp, and sort of him explaining how last year was like trying to throw a baseball without two fingers. You know, how he slipped into that sidearm release because he kind of had to. He was trying to compensate for that broken thumb, but he looked like somebody who was really confident in what he was doing. Good command, good zip on the ball. I liked that his mechanics and his throwing motion looked a little bit more natural again. And so those would be a few. I could probably just keep rattling off
Yeah.
names, but those are the ones that probably first come to mind.
So when we look ahead, you know, we're gosh, just 3 weeks away from SEC Media Days. When we go down there and we're wanting to vote for the SEC, all SEC team, I feel like Manning and Trinidad Chambliss are going to be your top two guys. They'll be your first team and second team guy. Metier, Stockton, you know, Marcel Reed. Who's the third best quarterback in the SEC?
Oh boy, that's a great question. I hadn't given it all that much thought, and I think that's like really the race throughout the year. Who is that third? Because we don't know anything about really like how Sam Levitt's going to do,
Right.
but he's probably in that mix based on the prior production at
And
Arizona State.
a year ago, we were all just off of one drive and one game, we were all on the Austin Simmons train.
Yeah. Now you got him at Missouri, and so is there anybody else who would need to be in that conversation? Like, can I
Sellers.
don't know
We're
if
forgetting the guy
Brown,
who
if
was the
Byron
first
Brown
team
at
guy last
Auburn,
year. It's Sellers.
oh gosh, yeah, that's right. He just did not have a good year last
Yeah.
year. So, okay, but yeah, because of that, I wouldn't put him in that mix.
No, I
So
wouldn't
I
either.
would say, okay, so we're trying to choose from like Metier, Stockton, Marcel Reed. For me, watching him, I got to see all three of those guys at the Manning camp. And the one that I was most impressed with was Metier. Now, this is a limited sample size.
Right.
It doesn't account for everything like running an offense and decision making and all those things. But like the arm talent I liked probably the most from him. But Marcel Reed, we know about his athleticism. So I would probably go one of those two. I don't think that I would put Gunnar Stockton in that mix necessarily as like the third best in the SEC, but he could very much prove me wrong. I mean, he had a good year last year. It just like the arm talent didn't really jump off the page for me watching him up close the other day.
So you mentioned something a second ago with Sam Levitt. I'm in a weird place with LSU. I think they're going to be really, really good, probably a college football playoff team. But I'm not entirely sold on Sam Levitt. And I think part of that is because I watched him play against Mississippi State 2 years in a row against the worst defense in the SEC. He was bad in both games. Their running game is really what carried them. How, you know, but Kiffin has that reputation. He's a quarterback whisperer. How good can Levitt be in year one down there?
He can be top 10 quarterback in the country. If the offense is able to, you know, support around him, if he gets good offensive line play, if they have a running game to complement, so it's not all entirely on his shoulders. We've seen what Lane Kiffin and Charlie Weiss, who also deserves a lot of credit, can do with quarterbacks and in this system. And there is it's kind of a matching of skill sets there that feels appropriate with Sam Levitt's running ability. So I think that he could end up by the end of the year being top 10 in terms of production, certainly. And the other thing, but it all depends on in large part on that foot, you know, how much time has he really had to learn this thing and practice this new offense that he's in and mesh with these teammates, all these new wide receivers. Like it could take a little bit of time in the season, potentially, maybe not, but potentially to kind of like bring everything together. But I think that's the ceiling, but the floor is probably much lower because of all those factors too.
In the state of Tennessee, you've got maybe two true freshmen are going to be starting at Tennessee and Vanderbilt with Faison at Knoxville and of course Curtis at Nashville and Vanderbilt. What about those two guys? Can they? I don't think anybody can replicate Pavia. I'm interested to see what happens there. Tennessee is one of the great enigmas in the conference this year. What do you expect from those two kids?
Ooh. Well, probably like any freshman quarterback's ups and downs. I mean, they're going to have some moments where you want to see moments from the two of them where you don't expect perfection, but you want to see like, okay, are they showing you things that they can build on? Are they giving you moments where they can continue to improve and where you can see the future, see the potential? That's probably what I expected, some ups and downs, and probably like, you know, welcome to college football moments where they do something that they really should never try to do again, or they make a bad decision, or, you know, throw three picks in the game or something like that. So yeah, I would probably expect that kind of typical, you know, freshman quarterback season. I doubt that either of them, even though they're very talented, will just come in right away and light it up.
I want to talk a little bit about Mississippi State. I think that people like you, not that there's anything wrong with you, we love you, Wilson, but you cover Mississippi State, you know, at a macro level, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you see Jeff Lebby as a coach who went from 2 wins to 5 wins. You're like, that's good improvement. They had a chance to win 7 or 8 games last year if you watched the games. Then you have someone like me who watches every snap of every game as part of my job, and I see a coach that I just don't believe has the right ideas in the right moments is the way I would put it. What is your expectation of Mississippi State this year as a national media member?
I haven't fully formed it yet, frankly.
You're not alone. Trust me. Trust me.
Because, you know, I do want to see, like, okay, how does that defense look under Zach Arnett, to your point earlier? And what kind of, you know, game-breaking ability does Kamario Taylor have? And can they make up for maybe some of those things that you're talking about with Jeff Lebby? And also, as a young, like, coach, like, can he continue to grow into that role? So I feel like, kind of circling back to what we were talking about earlier, like, I guess my broad expectation would be, like, they need to make a bowl game. Mm-hmm. Like, in order to show progress in the program, to go from 2 to 5 wins, like, you now need to get to 6. You need to make a bowl game. And you need to maybe have, you know, there's a nice win over Arizona State last year, but, like, you probably need, like, some, like, a big SEC win.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way. Knock off somebody. Would probably be, like, continue to show those steps moving forward. I don't expect Mississippi State to, you know, just come out and explode and win 10 games. But, like, if you can win 6 and maybe be in the mix for, if things go your way, for 7 and maybe even 8, mm-hmm. 8 might be a little ambitious. But, like, 6 or 7 wins?
Yeah. Well, so that leads to something I've been saying. You know, I feel like Cignetti ruined new coachings. Like, new coaches have to hate Kurt Cignetti. Because the thing I keep saying is, if Kurt Cignetti can go to Indiana and in 2 years win a national title, why is it unfair for me to say in year 3 at Mississippi State, Jeff Lebby can win 8 games, not be in the playoffs, maybe just be like a low top 25 team? Is that an unfair expectation in this day and age of college football? Is the Mississippi State situation somehow unique?
Like, it feels like it should still be like a – like, I don't know, I have these two competing ideas. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, yeah, at most places you should not expect a new coach to come in and have much success until year 2 at the least, maybe year 3. Mm-hmm. And yet then, like you said, like, Kurt Cignetti breaks our brains because Indiana was the losingest program in college football history.
Maybe he's just an outlier. I don't know.
Yeah, and that's very possible. But mm-hmm. we've also seen some other, you know, roster flips that have led to kind of quick success. And... you know, I think about, you know, there's all sorts of examples, really. But you're still with the Mississippi State. Well, again, competing ideas, because I'm going to say, like, oh, well, Mississippi State's kind of been at the bottom of the SEC for a long time. Well, so was Indiana in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So, like, it's possible. You just have to get, the right guys.
Yeah.
And you kind of might maybe have to kind of hit lightning in a bottle at times. Like, you have to really hit on your evaluations. Indiana is so well coached. Mm-hmm. That's what opposing people say all the time, is like, man, they're always in the right positions. Like, you have to do a lot of things right, but because of what is possible now with turning over a roster in a quick period of time, yeah, I think within what used to be the benchmark of year 3, like, you need to see progress, like, that should be year 2. Mm-hmm. Like, it all gets moved up a year for sure, at the very least a year.
In defense of Lebby, in year 2, he did go from 2 wins to 5 wins, and if, like I said, if you watch the games, they could have beaten Tennessee, they could have beaten Florida, they could have beaten Texas, so... I always say that about Lebby. It's like, if he could have just won one of those games, the discussion surrounding him and Mississippi State is just completely different. But unfortunately, he didn't win those games. And so that's just kind of where we are. Wilson, really appreciate your time today, man. And I will definitely be talking to you again this season.
Thanks for having me.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.